Good morning. May this time together strengthen our hearts and our minds as we look to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're in the middle, starting last week, we're now in the middle of our sermon series, Deep Water Calling. Speak, your servant hears. If you had to take all three of those texts that were just read, it really kind of sums those all together. Each one of those texts is an example of saying, speak, Lord, your servant hears. I hear my wife say a lot of things. But honestly, she is right in asking me, Andy, did you hear what I said? Call it selective hearing. Call it other things on my mind that my attention is not where it should be. Or maybe I really just didn't hear her. That's a possibility as well. It is a problem in our lives. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Even when we do listen, especially if there's some passion involved, there's maybe a fight that is happening between a husband and wife, or between a parent and a child, or coworkers, or even friends, or even somebody you don't know. If there's passion involved, very often we listen to formulate an argument instead of actually hearing what the person is saying. We're not really hearing. We can see this today with the young boy Samuel. He hears the voice of God. The scripture tells us that he does not yet know the voice of God, but he isn't really listening, and he automatically thinks that it's his master, Eli, calling him. It took Eli to help Samuel slow down and respond and speak those words, your servant hears. We see this with Nathanael, a friend of Philip. Philip comes to him, shares with him that he has good news. The one that Moses and the prophets spoke about is now having the opportunity to be here amongst us and come and meet him. And Nathanael automatically listens for a moment, then formulates an argument, dismissing it, and says there's nothing good that can come from that one donkey town called Nazareth. He doesn't really listen. So how do we hear when so much around us is full of noise and chaos? How do we hear God? I want to introduce you to a guy here from this congregation, a son of this congregation, who now is on staff. He leads the worship at Second Service. His name's Nick. He's somehow related to Pete and Martha. Son. He's our son. And I want him to share his story of how he heard God speak. Because we really all do. Not all the same way. But I think Nick's story is important for us to hear this morning. And so at this time, I'd like to have Nick come forward and share with us. There he is.
All right, there we go. Now I can be heard a little bit easier. So, let's hope I can get through this without being too emotional. So, as Pastor Andy said, we all hear the voice of God every once in a while. It's our job to listen. So, my situation starts, I think 7 years ago, 8 years ago now. I think June 21st will be my 8-3 birthday. That's what they call it after you have cancer. So after you get done with cancer, your end date is known as your rebirth day. So once again, 8 years ago, I was diagnosed. And whenever I got diagnosed, I was 21. Well, on the verge of being 21, I was 20. And I was, I think it was a week before my 21st birthday, I got my first round of chemotherapy, which was not fun. That's not the cocktail you want to have for your 21st birthday. So it was pretty racking. And in high school, I was known as Shaggy. A lot of my friends still call me Shaggy. That's because I had a big fro. I had a big afro. It was magnificent. It was a big mane. And obviously, whenever you go through chemotherapy, you lose it. So, or some people do. Some people are blessed with being able to keep it. I wasn't. I kind of had to go through that, and it was just kind of the whole thing. It had to be less of me, more of him. And so, basically, I had to go through the grieving stage, which is not fun, you know. Before you reach acceptance, you have to go through an anger period. Well, I did anyway. And I was very, I was very angry with God. I said, "Why me?" And I said, "The gloves are off. Come down from heaven, come off your throne, and come show me what you're really made of. Because you're making me show me what I'm really made of." So eventually, it was that same day that I said that to God. I said, "The gloves are off." And it's almost like the movie scene from Forrest Gump. Some people think it's a funny scene. They start laughing. But for me, I have tears because I understand what Lieutenant Dan was going through whenever he said, "It's time for a showdown. It's time for you and me." But then he made his peace with God the next day. So that's what I had to do. I had to come to grips with my situation. So that's the emotional part. Then comes the good part. Whenever that happened, whenever I reached that acceptance, I said, "Your will be done, not mine." And that's a very, very hard thing for somebody, especially of 21 years old, to come to grips with. So what eventually happened was I saw God moving not only throughout my life, but throughout other people's lives as well. My mom unfortunately had a miscarriage and lost her second son. And it was kind of a come-to-grips moment with her, too, because she said to me, she and I were having a late-night conversation, and this is kind of towards the beginning of it. I started kind of making my peace with it. Not really had a breakdown moment yet. But as soon as she said, he was yours before he was mine, your will be done, she surrendered over also. And so God was able to move freely throughout her life as well. So just like, excuse me, just a second, I've got to pull up my notes. Just like Samuel under Eli, he didn't know God yet. So he kind of had to, you know, he had to hear it from Eli. He's like, "No, that wasn't me. Go back and listen." That's kind of the way it was for me. I had to go through certain things to not only better myself, and I was actually spoken to. We were doing a concert and over in Plant City, just by chance. And the guy, this was kind of early on, kind of when I was starting to be accepting of it. He looked at me and he said, his name was Jason Cooper. Didn't know me from Adam. But he goes, "You're not going to die from this. This is only meant to make you stronger." So what you have to do is you have to look for that silver lining. And it's just, whenever you can accept your situation, whenever there's less of you, there's more of him, and there's more of an opportunity for God's will to be shown. But you have to be apt to listen. So that's kind of what we're all trying to understand with this new sermon series, is the aha moments. It's like, oh, this could better serve God's will. And not only that, it can better serve all those around me. So that's basically my story in a nutshell. If anybody ever wants to talk to me about it more, this is what I went through it for. So I was meant to go through this, not only for myself, but all for those all around us. So in your problems and in your times like this, try and look for that. Try and look for how it's going to serve God better, how it's going to serve, you know, your neighbors, your loved ones better. And try and look for that silver lining, because you're going to be blinded with a lot of, you know, just a lot of mishaps and all that kind of stuff throughout your process. but it's a gilding process. Diamonds start as coal. Under all that pressure, they turn into something beautiful. So that's my testimony.
I didn't know what he was going to exactly say. I mean, he had shared his testimony with the staff. I find Nick to be a real humble guy, and it came across again this morning. You know, I'm going to elaborate a little bit on it. Nick spent hours after chemo learning to play the guitar, self-taught, to the point where he got so good that he was hired on at different places, Disney, Mangos, a rock club. And yet, you know, that wasn't where God wanted him. It was a process for Nick, a movement to where all of a sudden he was really feeling a call to serve the Lord in music, in his church, instead of just playing guitar for the masses. And he's a phenomenal guitarist, as well as able to play many other instruments. And it culminated with him now being here amongst us, serving the Lord and leaving that life, getting away from that. Some of us have that opportunity to work full-time in ministry, like Nick is now, or myself, or Pastor Ron. Yeah, I got a call to come here about a year and a half ago and struggled with that call. Felt the Lord was calling me to be here. And I came, trusting the Lord. Those are big moments, maybe. You go, well, that's you, that's not me. But the reality is, the Lord is calling us all. Will we listen? God is always speaking to us. He comes to us in his word. We can guarantee that when we go to the word, we will find what he is calling us to and teaching us about. And it's always centered in Christ. It's always centered in Christ, calling us to faith and to a faith walk with him, who listened to the call of the Father and came and dwelt among us and laid down his life willingly, trusting that his heavenly Father would raise him from the dead and take our sins away from us. There we always have that starting spot, the spot that we can go back to, that anchor in our lives, that we are dearly loved by Jesus, and that through Jesus all of our sins are forgiven and we have an eternal destiny with our Father in heaven. So my question to you is now, today, maybe who has God brought into your life to speak to you like Eli had the opportunity to speak to Samuel, to help him hear what God was going to do? And you know, Samuel could have continued on his path and not responded to those words that were being spoken to him. He could have not said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And God would have found someone else, but God wanted Samuel, and Samuel became a great prophet and brought two kings into the people of Israel and a lot of prophecy. One was Saul and one was David, if you're not familiar with the story. God used Samuel in mighty ways in the future, ways that he could have never expected. I also want to ask you this, though. How is Jesus, who is in you and with you, using you to enter into someone else's life, to speak into their life words of his love or direction or prayer? And when we have somebody who has come to us and maybe speaks to us about a direction in our life, or that we speak to them as they maybe share their life with us and we pray for them, we want to take those things and we want to hold them in our hand And we just kind of hold them out here and we go, I don't know sometimes, Lord, what to do with these things. And it's okay to say that. I mean, Nathaniel was kind of like, these words have been spoken to me by Philip, you know, and I'm holding them out here and it doesn't make sense. And yet, you know, I will go with Philip and see this man. And he went. He went and he met Jesus. And Jesus told him things. And in those things, he all of a sudden moved from holding them out here to bringing them in here. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So how's God's Spirit working in you and with you and through you? Deep water calling is a call into faith. It's a call into obedience. It's a call to have the opportunity, the blessed opportunity to say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Some of you might be sitting here this evening and go, I've done it. My hair is gray or it's white and I have other things. I just want to rest and relax. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I'm too young. Maybe I'm a Samuel. I'm a young person. I don't really have a place. I hope that as you think and reflect upon the words that have been spoken in the text today, as well as the words that were given by Nick as he spoke, as a young 20-year-old hitting the wall, finding out that he has cancer, that those things don't stop you from responding to Jesus, who is always calling you, not just to faith, but into action. And allowing you to speak those words, your servant hears. In Jesus' name, amen.